Welcome, everybody, back to Friar Talk Tuesday, a part of America's Finest Sports. Today, we're going to be talking about Juan Soto. Going to be talking about this overall Padres offense that apparently cannot hit at home because they literally cannot hit at home. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the NL playoff rotations, and we're going to go through and rank all of those. And honestly, there's not a ton in terms of Padres stuff to talk about, so we might even talk a little bit about the NFL later on. But we don't have that much time before the game starts, so let's get into it. Chase, it's been a little bit since you've been on. You were sick for a little while. What are you feeling about? And let's combine Juan Soto and this Padres offense. How are you feeling about this Padres offense right now? Because they've been atrocious at home. And what are you kind of feeling about Juan Soto's impact just because he has been slumping lately?
You know, I did see a stat on Twitter today that Juan Soto and Josh Bell have a higher on-base percentage than they do a slugging percentage with the Padres. And I think that just kind of sums up the entire offense. Everyone can get on base, but no one can hit anybody in. There's a lack of home runs, a lack of doubles, just a lack of clutch hits. People go down with – it's amazing how many Padres strike out with runners on base. It's like they completely forget how to hit as soon as someone reaches second base. You don't see that many sac flies. You don't see a lot of, you know, just, okay, let me poke them the other way singles to advance the runner. Just kind of a lot of bad at-bats when there's runners on. We'll have guys get on base, but there's nothing to show for it. We lead the league and may break the record for runners left on base, which it's kind of embarrassing. So it's just one of those things where the offense is struggling. They can't hit in Petco for some whatever reason. You know, you'd expect with the home crowd, everybody with the energy that the crowd brings that they would hit. They don't. You've had troubles in the bullpen where some guys in the bullpen blow the game. You know, if you had the Hader fiasco where he can't close. It's been one thing after another. And I just want to see the team actually be consistent in one thing. Like, if we get pitching, we can't hit. If we can hit, there's no pitching. That's kind of how it's been for the past few weeks. And it's very frustrating because, when we fantasy football live stream, we were watching the Royals game. Oh, my God, we put up 8 runs. You know, this shouldn't be a close game at all. By the time we ended stream, it was a 1-run game.
Yep.
That shouldn't happen realistically. So it's just been one of those things. Also, apparently, screw you, Trace Thompson. I don't know why you suck with the Padres and then go over to the Dodgers and absolutely become a monster. So, yeah, there's that.
I think a lot of – see, I'm not concerned about Juan Soto. I think he's going to be fine. But I think a lot of people are kind of undermining how bad he struggled, and they're kind of undermining how much time we have left. A lot of people are saying – He's going to figure it out. He's one of the best hitters. He's too good, you know, this and that. Dude, we have 26 games left. We're like 2 games up. We need him to figure it out now. You can't keep underselling what he's doing. He's not doing good. His slugging percentage is down. So is Josh Bell. Chase, you already mentioned it. These guys cannot hit for power with runners on. I mean, they've had much difficulty doing so. And in their little win streak where they were won like 5 of 6 or whatever it was, they were batting over 400 with the runners on at one point. And they were winning games like by a good margin. They were putting up a lot of runs. The pitching wasn't doing very good in that Giants series, but they were putting up a lot of runs during that span. So they come out very flat in that Manaea start. I mean, you're already losing the game before it even started, so that doesn't help. But That Clevinger start, I don't know. That was a very weird game. I think people are kind of underselling what Juan Soto is doing right now. I mean, yes, he's going to figure it out. He's definitely going to still be one of the best hitters in all of baseball, if not the best. But we need him to figure it out now. We have 26 games left. We're in the thick of a playoff race with 2 other teams. And just because they're not very good, I mean, we don't show that we're very good either. So we need to need them to kind of start bouncing back right now. I still think it's a fine team. It's a good team on paper, but they just don't do what good teams do. They don't do what good teams do. They don't hit with runners in scoring position. Timely hitting is an issue. They don't close out games against bad teams. They don't do what good teams do, what teams like the Dodgers do, the Mets do, the Braves do. they're able to handle their competition, and we can't do that. And Juan Soto has been one of the, I wouldn't say the main reason, he's definitely not been the main reason, but he's been one of the reasons as to why we can't do it.
Yeah, and I feel like we look at kind of how the season has gone, and there's been a lot of ups and downs throughout the year, especially in terms of the offense as well. But lately, the offense has, it's been good, but then it'll just fall apart really fast for like five games, and it'll be gone for five games. Like last night, Blake Snell strikes out 10 guys in six innings. You're expecting to win that, and allows one run. You're expecting to win that game, and the Padres end up getting shut out. Now, also, the bullpen allowed four more runs, but like, you still at the end of six innings, when Blake Snell's his line was six innings, one earned run, just a dominant performance, and you didn't give him a single run, and then you end up not even scoring for the rest of the game. Like, that's the stuff where we see that tonight. The Padres are playing Merrill Kelly. We will see how that turns out. We know how Merrill Kelly pitches against the Padres. So it just kind of goes up and down. For Soto, I mean, I'm not concerned about Soto specifically. The area that I'm concerned about is definitely the runners in scoring position area. But Soto specifically, last seven games, he's hitting 87 with an 87 slugging and a 323 on base. Last 15, he's hitting 176 with a 364 and a 294 slugging. And overall, in his time in San Diego, he's hitting 245 on base, 408, and his slugging is 394. Yes, his slugging is 394. That is about 90 points lower than it was for the Nationals. And his batting average is 1 point lower. His on-base percentage is the exact same as when he was on the Nationals this year. It's just there's no slugging. And that's what we've seen, is that he hasn't really – I mean, he has, what, two home runs, right? The three home runs? I'm sorry.
Three home runs.
And it's just been the whole team, though. Like, outside of, like, Brandon Drury, honestly, like, outside of Brandon Drury and Manny, there hasn't really been any power. The good thing is, I mean, Manny's just been completely insane this whole season. But even Brandon Drury – he's flashed the power, but he's like barely hitting 200 and he hasn't really done well outside of that. You know what I mean? Like he's only flashing the power. So overall with the offense, like I am really concerned with Juan Soto. He's going to bounce back. He's going to be good. The problem is, Isaac, you brought it up. There's 20 something games left. So it's put up or shut up time right now for the Padres. Yep. And they have to start driving runners in. And every opportunity they get, they have to bring guys in. You can't keep leaving guys on base. Oh, there's, you know, guys in second and third with one out, and then the next two guys come up and strike out. Like, that kind of stuff cannot happen. And I've talked about it before. The Padres, they always talk about how they see so many pitches. The plate approach is so great. It doesn't really help if you're walking a bunch of guys just to leave them on base. Yeah. It doesn't help if you have this great approach, and then there's finally a guy in scoring position, and then you just see – three straight fastballs and you watch the first two and then you whiff on the third one. Like we just see too many terrible at bats with guys on. And I think that's the big thing that is going to change. I don't know, but it needs to change. And that's become pretty clear. That's kind of all I got on Soto.
I think I found like the perfect analogy. The Padres with runners in scoring position is basically Josh Donaldson's entire season. If you've seen Yankees fan absolutely criticize that man, it's 100% fair. I've seen videos of Josh Donaldson taking 390-mile-per-hour fastballs in the exact same location, and the bat never left his shoulders. That's what it's like when the Padres get a guy in scoring position. It's like they get monstered. The moment they get handed the bat from the bat boy, it's like they take all their skill away just – in that one thing. It's just, I don't know what it is. And I know I see Johnny Cage mentioning, you know, the Dodgers have four hitting coaches, we have one. That definitely plays a role into it. And then that also goes into Preller and the staff that you put together to lead this team, you know, coaches, pitching coaches and everything. That's all Preller. We've mentioned it before. We definitely need more hitting coaches. We need more pitching coaches. Relying on one guy for a job doesn't work when you have to analyze 13 different swings, sometimes 14. It doesn't work. you really need more than you probably need at least four guys in there. You know, you could call it a lack of coaching for more or less, but there's also, it has to be something mentally with each one of the guys. I think they're trying to do too much. I think they realize it is put up or shut up, and they're putting a lot of pressure on themselves. Hopefully that's not it. You know, baseball's supposed to be a fun game, and when you're not having fun, you're not going to do well. And it doesn't look like the guys are having fun right now.
100%. They look out of it, man. Devin said, who's to blame? And I guess, you know, going time back to what Chase said, you could definitely say there's some organizational issues with, you know, not having enough guys at the helm to help these guys out. But also, you also said, I mean, these guys just got to have common sense, man. They swing out balls out of the zone all the time with runners in scoring position. They take strike three consistently. Like that one point, that one short little stint where they were 21 for 50 with runners in scoring position, that was the best version of the offense I had seen. It was fantastic, and they were doing everything right at the plate, and lately it hasn't been that way. So I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, I'm not going to blame it all on Juan Soto. He's not the only guy at fault. You got Josh Bell struggling. Brandon Drury struggling. I mean, he's hit some home runs, but he's still struggling. Profar came around. Crone is not having the season that anyone expected. So it's like there's a lot of guys in the lineup that are just struggling, man. But they got 26 games left. It can't keep being he's going to figure it out. He's going to figure it out. He's going to figure it out. It can't. That stopped last month. You have a month. You have 3 weeks left, and you're in the thick of a playoff race with teams that on paper you are 100% better than. So it's time to figure it out now. And I mean, it should have started yesterday. You faced a guy that had a 5.5 ERA in AAA. You should put up 12 runs on him. You're an MLB team. You should put up 12 runs on him. But yeah, they didn't do it nonetheless.
Yep, I'm with you guys. And Cobra says they can't hit fastballs 95 plus, I've noticed. Nope. Yeah, it's because it feels like they're kind of just sitting on off speed all the time, it feels like. Like Trent Grisham comes up. Dude, if you just throw Trent Grisham a fastball down the middle of the plate, he's either going to take it or he's going to whiff every single time, dude. It's like the other day, I forgot, he came up and there was a couple guys on. It wasn't the Dodgers game. It wasn't that whole thing. But he came up and there was a couple guys on and they just threw a bunch of gas like over and over. And I remember thinking, and I know we can't do this because he's gone, but I remember thinking, God damn, dude, if we had Tatis in center field instead of this guy, we would have so much more offensive production. Because it's like, I feel like every time there's a rally, it'll like work its way around to Trent and you're like, damn it, screwed. He's going to strike out. It doesn't matter. Like, and if it's one out, then like, okay, he's going to strike out and no one's going to get advanced. Or if it's two outs, he's striking out and then, you know, the inning's over. But they really do not have an aggressive approach on with guys on. And they can't hit fastballs, dude. They really can't hit fastballs. I remember a couple weeks ago, we were just talking about it, like us. And we were like, dude, it's insane how often that they end up just like whiffing on them. Or just take a fastball down the pipe. And so that's definitely the thing that needs to change offensively. But we've been saying that for quite a bit now. That's the thing. We've been saying that for quite a bit. They have been a lot better over the past couple weeks. But then I feel like last night was kind of like, oh, my God, really? Like, we're going back to this? Especially because they came back home. It kind of – I think everyone was kind of feeling that a little bit. But we'll get back to the Padres a little bit. But I want to talk a little bit more about the overall NL. I thought this would be a fun one. We could go through and talk about all of the playoff rotations and kind of rank the playoff rotations. We'll do the NL because I feel like the NL we know a lot better. But Chase, Isaac, when you guys are looking around at teams that are either in the playoffs and kind of locked into it right now or in the hunt, so we'll add Padres, Brewers, Phillies as kind of like those teams that are like vying for those last spots. But who's, I mean, outside of the Mets, I guess, because that's pretty obvious. But who are the rotations that you guys think are the scariest?
Before you took the words out of my mouth, I was just going to say the Mets. I don't want to face the Mets at all. Then I'd probably say Atlanta, just because the Dodgers rotation is so up in the air that you really don't know who's going to be in there. Because if Gonsolin's not in there, I'm not too terrified of them. But if Gonsolin is in there, then it gets a little more scary. It just really depends on the severity of his injury and how long he's out. because there's a lot of conflicting reports that have come out about it. Just because, you know, Spencer Strider, Max Fried, who's their third guy right now? Is it?
Kyle Wright.
Kyle Wright. Kyle Wright has also had a ridiculous year. He carved up the Padres earlier. I remember that. He's having a breakout year himself, so I'd probably go the Braves after that. Not too scared of the Cardinals, the Brewers, and the Phillies. The Brewers have a good rotation when you compare it to the Mets and the Braves. Yeah, I don't know. They're down here. And then, you know, the Mets are all the way off the screen because of DeGrom, Scherzer, Bassett, Walker. Though I think Scherzer just got hurt again, right?
Yep.
But it's not too serious, I don't think, right? Like, he's the problem is that he kind of always gets hurt. Or not always, but he did last year where it was like
the back whole end of the season is starting to get hurt, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that just sounds like old.
Yeah, I mean, just going based off playoff rotations, not regular season rotations. Because if we were doing regular season rotations, I'd put the Padres last out of the playoff teams. Because you look at it right now, every single team in the playoff hunt ranks ahead. In terms of starters, every single team in the playoff hunt ranks ahead of the of the Padres. Almost said Chargers. Every single team in the playoff hunt ranks ahead of the Padres. However, we're just going and that's heavily inflated because of Sean Manaea. All right. But we're just going based off playoff hunt. Mets, obviously, assuming DeGrom and Scherzer are both healthy, which DeGrom clearly is. Now it's just a matter of is Scherzer healthy. They're going to be the obvious number one. That's going to be the team that you're probably going to get eliminated by if you play them in a three-game series. Then I'm gonna go Chase's direction also, man. The Braves have a very, very good core when it comes to the playoffs. You got Max Fried competing for a Cy Young. You got Kyle Wright with like a 2.85 ERA. And then you got Strider, who apparently starting like 50 or 60% of his at-bats with an 0-2 count, something like that. That's absolutely absurd. Strikes out guys, has the stuff to strike out a lot of guys. So you got to put them number two for sure. But if Gonsolin is healthy, I'd maybe put the Dodgers ahead of them. I think they're both a very good rotation where you can place them two or three and be pretty confident in that ranking. But I'll put the Dodgers at three. Tyler Anderson, Julio Urias, and you can go probably Clayton Kershaw or Dustin May. That's a very terrifying three that you probably don't want to face. All three of those rotations are teams you don't want to face, whereas the Brewers, Freddy Peralta struggling, Corbin Burns has been solid. They're nothing to be really scared of. Woodruff is good, of course. The Phillies, I'm not really scared of the Phillies either. Nolan's solid. But, yeah, I mean – I wouldn't rank the Padres higher than fourth. Fourth, I think, is good just because Blake Snell's been pretty damn good. Yu Darvish has been really good. And then the third spot, Joe Musgrove is good. You probably plug in Joe Musgrove in there. Mike Clevenger, you probably won't plug him in there for right now. Sean Manaea is not deserving of a spot. So it's like you know, you can't rank them higher than fourth. I mean, the Cardinals also have a good argument, but ranking them higher than either of those teams is really hard for me.
Dude, and I'm looking at it, and dude, you know who else actually has a pretty good rotation? The Phillies. Yeah, the Phillies' rotation is pretty solid. Now, a big question is, are they going to get Zach Wheeler back? But they have Aaron Nola. We've seen Aaron Nola many times. They got Noah Syndergaard. I know he is not like the same guy that he once was, but you got Thor. And then they can basically pick as their fourth guy, either Ranger Suarez or Gibson. Like, that's still pretty good. The Braves rotation is nasty, and that's also kind of almost emerged a little bit this year as well. I think, like, heading into the season, you wouldn't have thought that it was that huge of a thing. The Cardinals, I would say, probably would have, like, before the deadline, had one of the weaker rotations out of all these teams. But they had a pretty big addition in Jordan Montgomery, so that helps a lot. Honestly, the Brewers aren't that great. Like, if you look at the guys' numbers, they haven't really been that good. So, I think the Brewers might – it's kind of crazy because they have Corbin Burns, but, like, they might be one of the last teams in terms of their playoff rotation. Because you – and I'm also, like – I kind of do it where it's, like, all right, heavy emphasis on the one and two in these rotations. And then also the three and the four are going to pitch, and then the fifth guy is not going to pitch. But I'm trying to think of how I would want to rank these. The Mets would be one, but I guess put an asterisk in case Scherzer isn't there, because if Scherzer isn't there, that's also a huge blow. So I would say Mets at one, Braves at two. The Dodgers have massive question marks in their rotation, which is actually a really big deal for them. If Gonsolin is back, if Kershaw is healthy, if May looks okay, like continues to look okay, then they're in a great spot. However, two of those three guys could easily have something up. I would probably lean more Kershaw and Gonsolin, and probably the biggest question mark is definitely Gonsolin. But that's if they don't have those guys, like it's going to look pretty tough just because you're already missing Walker Buehler for the rest of the year and probably next year too. So they're actually in kind of a scary spot. The good thing for them is that, and this is kind of the problem with the playoffs though, is like what they usually do is they're just like, oh, we're going to toss this guy. Oh, look, he's a stud every single time. I feel like it's a little bit different come playoff time, but I still think the Padres rotation is really good. I think the Padres have a very strong rotation. I think that's kind of the core of their team. And I know that in terms of like rankings and stuff, they aren't that high, but if you look at the top four guys, I'm confident in all those guys to be able to go out into a playoff game and pitch well. Darvish has been incredible this year. We've said it a lot, and I don't think we've said it enough. Blake Snell has been stupid post All-Star break. Joe Musgrove had a kind of a rut early in the year, and then he had a little bit one recently, but I think he's going to be fine. And then the big question mark is Clev. But even if Clev isn't that great, that's one of your four guys that's not clicking. The other three guys, I mean, they've looked pretty good. So it's hard, dude. It's hard to rank these rotations. They're all good. None of them are like, oh, this one is bad. Like I said, the Brewers is probably like one of the worst ones, and they have Corbin Burns as their one. So it's like, well, shoot, you have a true ace as your main guy. So I don't know. What are you guys thinking for if you fill out all of these rankings?
Mets, Braves, Dodgers, Padres, Cardinals, Phillies, Brewers.
I think that's probably what I would do too. I can't put the Dodgers above the Braves. Mets are unequivocally number one. It changes a little bit if Scherzer's out, but Taiwan Walker's still been really solid this year. So even then, it's still not that big of a blow because they still have Bassett too. And DeGrom is the best pitcher in baseball. So having him as your number one instantly puts you in top three category. Doesn't even matter who the other two are. Yep. Jordan Montgomery's just been stupid since he's went to the Cardinals, so it's kind of hard to place them towards the last spot. You could even argue they could go above the Padres, depending on how each continue to pitch, but depth-wise, I'll give it to the Padres just because they have Mike Clev coming in the four spot. So yeah, I probably have the same list as Isaac.
Yeah, I think that that's kind of where I'm at too. I was thinking about putting the Phillies a little higher, but it's like, it's kind of hard to put them ahead of the Cardinals. I think we're all rocking with the exact same list. I will add, if the Dodgers lose guys, they will fall big time. I think you're right though. Maybe the Braves could jump the Mets in terms of their rotation if the Mets don't have Scherzer, but the Mets aren't going to fall down that far because you still have Walker and Bassett, like you said. So it's like, it's not like, oh no, they suck. It's like, no, they still have three like really good pitchers. So
horses.
Yeah. And so I think like in terms of tiers, then we have the Mets in their clear own tier. And I'll be honest, I don't really think there's a tier after that. I think everyone's pretty close. I think everyone's kind of jumbled together. I think maybe you could put the Braves in their own kind of spot. But if we look at the Dodgers' current rotation and the Phillies' rotation, it's not like a massive drop-off like you would expect. Like you would think it would be a crazy drop-off. It's really not that insane. But definitely, I don't know. I think definitely that's probably – I'd probably do Dodgers 3, Padres 4, Cardinals 5, and then Philly 6, Brewers 7. It's funny too because the Cardinals and the Phillies added stuff at the deadline and they're still like among the worst in the NL, which isn't really that big of a knock because both of their offenses are – stupid. They've been going insane, and the Cardinals have been winning games left and right. But yeah, I think that's probably all I got in terms of what these starting rotations are going to look like. But what? How much time we got to till the game starts? Like 10, 15 minutes? Not too long?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. We're thinking about talking about football, but if anyone in the chat wants us to answer anything, let us know, because I'm definitely down to go over some random stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a good one. Here's a great one.
One, I don't think we have the funds.
No, I don't think so either.
And that's it. We don't have the funds. So
you see his asking price? Do you see what he's asking for? He's 50. Asking for 50 mil.
Yeah, we don't have it. Yeah.
That's what Otani's asking.
I was gonna say, we do not have the pockets. Our pockets ain't deep like that.
How old is DeGrom though?
30 something.
He 34? Might be 30. He's actually, oh my God. So it probably wouldn't be that long of a deal. I'm looking at what is
3.
Okay, years. So his expected deal on SpotTrack, and keep in mind these are almost always undervalued, is 3 years, $123 million. Then that's undervalued.
It'll be closer
that's to 41 a year.
That's 41. So it's gonna be 3 for $150. The problem, and the other thing is he hasn't been healthy. Like we don't need to add another wild card, bro. Uh-huh. And it's like it's hard too, because like you get DeGrom. Oh my gosh. But
it's DeGrom. You can't go wrong ever getting DeGrom. Let's clear some things off the table. You can never go wrong with DeGrom.
That's true.
The only problem is will he get hurt? Which
is,
there's been some unfortunate incidents these last couple of years.
Yeah.
But when healthy, there is no pitcher that comes close to him on this earth, other than maybe that one kid, I'm forgetting his name right now, from Japan, that might Roki Sasaki.
Oh, yeah.
That if he comes over to the MLB and continues to have the same stuff, he might be able to, you know, compare to DeGrom. But as of right now, dude, there's just not. He throws 100 miles an hour. He throws a 95 wicked slider. Has an 80. He has a wicked changeup and a wicked curveball, and can locate every single one of them. That is just what separates DeGrom.
Dude, and the other thing too, I see people talking about Judge. Dude, we're not gonna get these guys, bro. We went and got Soto. Soto's the guy that they're trying to pay. Yeah. They're not gonna get anyone else, like for at least the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
I don't know if getting DeGrom is the move. Even though like everyone should like DeGrom. Everyone should
go for him. Yes.
Yeah. It's just like how much are you gonna really be able to spend? The only thing is, what if you signed DeGrom to a 2-year deal? Because then it wouldn't affect the Soto money.
Make it incentive based, so it's per starts, so that like, if he wants his $50 million, he has to earn it through healthy performances and then maybe milestones for strikeouts and wins, and I don't know what else you could throw in there. Complete games.
Yeah, I kind of feel like there's bigger needs, if you ask.
Yeah,
there is bigger needs. But DeGrom
is the shit. He's fucking sick. Yeah, there's just some bigger needs. And I think there might be other pitchers out there that you can get. Rodon is injury prone too, but I'd love to have Rodon. You know, there's some guys.
Yeah. Would you rather have Soto or Judge? Soto, he's like almost 10 years younger.
Yeah.
Now, what I for one
don't
season?
Don't get me wrong. Judge would be nice just because of the power, because
for one season, can we Judge 50 something home runs? That's insane. We could use those.
Flat Life says, "I can't wait to see you guys. What you guys sound like when Otani goes to the Dodgers? We've already accepted it, man. Yeah, we know it's happening. We're not going to be surprised. We know that's right around the corner.
Yeah.
He's staying in Cali. He's not going to the Giants. The Padres don't have the funds. The A's aren't shelling out money. So that leaves one team.
That's what's about to go down. Otani to the A's. Make a movement.
Imagine that.
This is a good one. In terms of a 2 to 3 year period, Soto or Judge, Let's look it up. I want to see Judge's recent numbers, because this is a good question.
See, Judge this year just has been ridiculous.
That's the thing. But Judge has Judge been better the last couple years?
He has the chance to hit 70 bombs there.
Dude, he's been pretty insane.
Yeah, he's been really good.
Last year, he hit 39 bombs. I mean, last year, Soto had a better year.
Yeah.
This year, Judge has had a better year. I feel like it's a toss-up, dude. Like, I feel like you can't – it just kind of depends. Like, year to year, one of them is going to be better.
My only slight edge to Judge is that I think Judge can play center and has a better arm.
Better defense, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he actually is a decent enough defender, huh?
Yeah, he's not bad.
He's not bad.
I don't think so, at least.
Judge also has a cannon attached to his shoulder.
Yeah.
Eye test tells me he's not bad.
Yeah, also, Soto, okay, all the stuff that people were talking about Soto's defense has been a little bit overblown. Soto is not that bad of a defender. Now, he'll make some plays where you're like, dude, what did he just do? But people acted like he was the worst defender ever to step foot. He's made a bunch of great plays in right field so far for the
Padres. We could also talk about Profar's defense, too. That
completely that fallen off?
Yeah.
Dude, he has had some bad plays lately, too. Trying to see. Loans, he said he thinks Judge. I think that's super fair.
Yeah. I don't think you can go wrong, honestly.
Oh, what about
I think Mariners it really just depends Otani? On what your need is.
Mm-hmm.
If you need Mariners a guy that on base, you probably go Soto. But if you need slugging, you go Judge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Devin asked Mariners for Otani. Nah. They just paid.
I feel like they don't have the money either.
Yeah, I don't think so. Judge should go home to the Giants. That'd be crazy.
Robbie Ray. I think they extend Luis Castillo. Or do they just
have him? Sign him to an extension? I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, apparently Otani said he won't do the Mariners because of Ichiro.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty awesome.
DFA Beatty.
Thank God. I forgot. I was going to mention this earlier.
I was going to say,
talking about organizational screw-ups, why is Beatty on the team?
Dude,
why was Beatty at DH?
I was about to say, yesterday at DH, we had a man who wasn't hitting 100, had zero home runs, had one RBI, had been hitting under 400 slugging at El Paso, and he was hitting in the DH spot.
Yep.
Why did Campy not DH? In a
hitters-friendly park.
Yeah, no, in like the most hitters-friendly park. That was insane. Dude, also, the whole thing that they DFA'd Trace Thompson and then they kept
Beatty, that's insane.
Man. Mm-hmm. It looks so bad.
Remember how excited we were about Beatty?
Okay, I don't think we were that excited. We're like, this isn't bad.
Yeah, we're like, all right, this isn't bad, you know? It wasn't like
this could be great.
Yeah, it's like, all right, this, you know, he hits righties. He does his thing. Yeah. How about for the last few minutes? If anyone has fantasy football questions or anything, we can answer those, and then we'll take off.
I like that. Also, week one NFL season's coming up. I'm hyped. I'm super pumped.
Very hyped. In the league we're in, we made it to where, like, all right, you get to pick who you play week one. So we got like we made it to like championship rematch. Me and one of my good friends against each other. We made it kind of fun for week one. And I think I want to do that for like kind of the whole season where, like, all right, who do you want to play this week? Who do you want to play this week? Each week, see what happens. Obviously, you can't play the same guy over and over and over.
I was going to say, you know how that's going to be. The person facing you right now is going to be, I want you weeks 1 through 17.
16 weeks. You would want me for 16 weeks.
Oh my God, that'd be hilarious.
Yeah, it would.
You're playing the same guy. All of a sudden, a star player goes down. Oh no. Oh, he's got McCaffrey. McCaffrey goes down. All right, there we go. Dub for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Chargers.
Let me tell you, I went to SoFi on Saturday, and it is the most beautiful stadium I've ever seen in my life.
Dude, it's crazy. I wonder what it is like for like a concert compared to a sporting event, though. That's because you've only been for a concert now, right?
Yeah, I went for a
concert. And I've only been for sporting, yeah.
Right.
But, it's so big and, like, so open.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's very hard to navigate in there, but really nice.
Oh, here we go. Who do you got in Thursday's game, and who do you think the wide receiver one is? I am taking – so the line is Bills minus 2.5. I'm taking Rams plus 2.5. They might not win it, but this should be a really close game. It should be a really good game.
I think it's going to be very fun.
I also have some question marks for the Rams long term throughout the season. But in terms of early on, like, they're still stacked right now. So I think the Rams are really good. I think it's crazy that the Rams are just coming off of a Super Bowl win, keeping almost the exact same roster, and they're underdogs in week one. Yeah, I think that's insane. They added Allen Robinson. That's a good point. But they did lose Odell too, / Robert Woods for that like wide receiver two spot. Mm-hmm. And then who do you think is wide receiver one on the Packers? So who do you guys have in Thursday's game? You said Bills, Chase?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, because they also have an over-under for Gabe Davis at 57.5 yards, which I'm taking all away.
Yeah, I actually think that's good, Chase, because, I mean, I don't know if Jalen Ramsey is going to shadow him the whole game, but I think Jalen Ramsey is going to have a lot of – he's going to be assigned basically to
Gabe. He should,
right? So I actually think it might be a Gabe Davis game. I mean, I don't know who the cornerback two is for the Rams, but I really do think it's going to be like a Gabe Davis, Isaiah McKenzie type game. I mean, of course, Diggs is going to get hella targets, but, you know, Ramsey's
– or Knox, dude. Knox might break out this week, too.
He will probably come down with a tutty.
I was gonna say he's the tutty guy.
Yeah, he's the tutty guy. Catches. I will take the Rams though. I'll take the Rams in Thursday's game. I'll go a little different, but it's a toss up. And then the wide receiver one on the Packers for week one, just because it's week one, is gonna be Sammy Watkins.
Watkins, any week one is Watkins.
Yeah.
The rest of the year though.
Who what about the rest of the year? I think it's Lazard, bro.
Yeah, Lazard. Definitely. Well, Lazard might not play Lazard might not play week one, so that's why I didn't put him as the number one for week one.
It has to be Lazard.
You know who else might be there? No, it's not Cobb, but you know who else actually might make it? This is kind of random. Aaron Jones. Let's see how they use them, because dude, they don't have weapons. They do not have guys in the passing game. If they give him is it like that crazy if he saw like 100 targets? Not really.
I think 80 is realistic.
Yeah, flat life. Chase and I are both Niners fans. And then Isaac's a Chargers fan.
Yep.
And then people are also talking about Snapdragon Stadium. Did you guys see it?
Everyone hates it.
So my stepbrother,
I watched the game just because I thought U of A was going to lose. I thought my team was going to get their ass whooped, and they came out with the dub. So unexpected victory for me.
Yeah, that's good, Chase.
I was completely expecting an ass whooping, and then they won. I was like, you know what? This is kind of nice. This is the first time I've seen them win since last year.
Yeah,
because I think we went 1-16 last year, something like that. We like lost every single game. It was bad.
Really?
It was really bad.
That bad?
Yeah, it was really bad.
I mean, yeah.
They're like 2-32 the last 2 years or something like that, or 3-29. It was bad. They are horrible at football.
So, 1-0 this year, though.
ASU is the team that always has the sweet wideouts, right? Or I guess, not always. They had Nikhil Harry.
They have a pretty nice kid right now. They have a pretty nice wide receiver at U of A right now, I'm not going to lie.
Oh, really?
His name is Jacob Cowings. He had like 8 games over 100 yards last year, and then he reached 100 yards and had a tutty Sunday.
There you go. Super dog. Is he draft eligible yet or no?
I think he might be after this year.
Okay, yeah. But yeah, I saw the Snapdragon stuff. My stepbrother goes to San Diego State, and he went to the game, and he left. He's like, dude, this sucks.
Yeah,
that's not ideal for week one. Oh yeah, your own students are leaving.
Yeah,
100%.
That is trash. That is horrible,
dude. Yeah, and they sold out Snapdragon. Yeah, they sold it out because it was so much hype around it.
Everyone was just hyping it up, how beautiful it looks, this and that. But then you step
And it's hot. It's so hot.
Freaking hot, man.
Yeah, that's what I heard. The heat was killing people, man.
So the same thing for the Niners stadium at Levi's. I've been to a few day games. I've been to a few night games there. The problem is if you go in the day and you're on one of the sides, it's horrible. It's so hot. It's absolutely brutal. Night games are sick. It doesn't affect night games. And that's how I'm assuming Snapdragon's going to be too. But if you're going in the sunny area, it's really bad. But keep in mind, the Niners stadium, half of it's shaded. Snapdragon is completely exposed to the sun. And, like, there's nowhere to, like, go and, like, get out of it. So, dude, they screwed it up big time. And then, I don't know if you saw this, but the next day, the Padres issued, like, a release. And they were like, all right, we're going to be giving out water and doing X, Y, and Z and all this stuff for the tickets. And then it was like, oh, dude, San Diego State looks even worse now because they didn't have enough water. Mm-hmm. But that, yeah, that was kind of a disaster in terms of
terrible.
In terms of awful. Yeah. What else? What other football stuff? I'm trying to think. You guys, did I tell you guys I have a parlay, $10 to win $7,000.
What is it?
I think you told me about it.
It's like basically, it's like four or five teams to win by two touchdowns. But to be fair, okay, it's not going to happen. That's the first thing. It's ridiculous. But it's like all of the teams that run the football and are playing bad teams. Like all the best rushing teams against the worst teams in the league. I'll send it to you guys. It's a good one. But yeah.
Once I forgot it. It's now parlay season. I gotta go add money to my account.
It's parlay season.
Yeah. Devin, I don't want to give that guy any energy. Everyone knows he's a scumbag. So no, we don't need to talk about him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to go to SoFi at least probably three more times. One for the concert again. And then two more times to watch the Chargers. So yeah.
Yeah. Best – oh, I didn't see this. Jesus has best defense on fantasy.
I'm rocking with the Broncos for the first 2 weeks.
The problem with the Broncos is that they have played that division.
Might be really good.
Yeah, you guys just like streaming, huh?
I like streaming.
I like streaming defenses. I don't carry anything.
Don't rock with one defense. Just keep switching them out. Keep switching them out.
The most weeks I've ran with the defense, I think, was like 3 or 4 weeks, just because the Colts were in a really weak division, and those 4 weeks they carried me.
Yeah. Yep.
I would say if you're going to pick one defense, though, if you are going to rock with one, I would say go with a defense in the NFC and a defense that doesn't have to play against the AFC West or like a bunch of the AFC powerhouse teams, because AFC is way better than the NFC this year. So Rams, Niners, low-key Vikings. The Vikings play the Lions. Their defense is pretty solid, and they play the Lions and the Bears twice a year. I usually – hold two defenses and have like one stud defense and then rotate another one out, which kind of you lose a bench spot, but like it's pretty cool.
I don't even carry a backup quarterback.
No, I don't carry one either. I think it depends what league you're in, I guess.
Yeah,
that's
true.
I would say don't rock with one defense. Keep switching them out when you can.
Yeah All right, guys, I think this game is about to start. The plan for Fire Talk, I think we're going to be going live. I think Chase and I are going to go live tomorrow after the game. It might be kind of late. It might not be the longest live just because it's going to be late for me. But I think we will be going live tomorrow, and then I'm not sure what the next couple days are going to look like. But all right, guys, have a good night. Hopefully Merrill Kelly does not end the Padres tonight. That's the hope. But yeah, guys, we'll see you all soon, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.